Last week we started a conversation about what kind of love we have. And more importantly, and more specifically perhaps, what kind of love do I have for the unlovely? And so let me say first of all, because every now and then I need to ask for your forgiveness. Forgive me if I wasn't clear in my delivery and intent. Some of us may have thought that the message was just about difficult people and sinners, when in fact the message was about us, you and I, the church, and our ability to love the unlovely. Forgive me for not including the victims last week. I spoke about some very difficult things: murder, incest, rape, and more, and didn't mention the victims, and I apologize for that. The reason I did not is because my intent was to challenge us to think, can I love the unlovely like Jesus did? Like the prostitute in last week's story. Can I love those that society has looked down upon? The church has looked down upon. Loving the victims, you see, brothers and sisters, is automatic. Loving the villain is not. And God has challenged me in my love capacity, or in some cases, the lack thereof, to love like He has loved. And I haven't done a very good job of that from time to time. You see, friends, actually for the last several weeks, the sermons have been about us, the church, our prayer life, not somebody else's, our spiritual discipline of fasting, not the neighbor's, not the person sitting next to me in church, ours. And last week was no different. Our capacity to love. The church. The church's capacity to love. The heart to love. A 6-year-old girl said during the week, on numerous occasions, once when she answered her daddy, "What did you learn from the sermon last week?" And once while she was with people her own size, her own age, she said, "I learned that if we will not love our neighbors, we're not loving God right either." She's 6. Anyone can love the lovable. But as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to love more than the easy to love. I was thinking that perhaps I need to employ this 6-year-old to help me write my sermons. I can understand her thinking. Not everybody will respond to your love, brothers and sisters. But like the story we saw last week, some will. Not everybody is hungry for Jesus, even though God is not willing that any should perish. But when the church will love like Jesus loved, some will respond. Just like I said last week, through love, transformation is likely. Matthew 5, I'm going to refer to a couple of verses before I go to the story. Matthew 5 challenges me often. And when I get challenged, guess what? I get to pass that on to you. Because I've been challenged in my love category. Matthew 5, 43 and 44 challenge me. Jesus said, You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you. This is from Jesus. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. We could talk about each and every one of those and spend the rest of the time doing it. This is a directive from God to the church. Do good to those who hate you. Then they will see the love of Jesus. Pray for those who are despicable towards you. And maybe through love, transformation will come to them too. I ask myself and I ask you this morning, friends, are these just nice sayings? Or is this what Jesus meant? I think we know the answers. I don't hear it, but I think we know it. This is what Jesus meant for the church. To love the unlovable. To love the unlovely. Even when they have been miserable to you. Or their sin is so vile and so flagrant, you can't stand it. Jesus said, love them anyway. Just like he did the woman. Sometimes I wonder, what has happened to me? What has happened to the church? What has happened to the followers of Jesus when we sit in our churches and hate and have unforgiveness and bitterness and vexation of the Spirit and murder in our heart? You see why I asked the question last week? It's easy to say, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. Isn't it? And it ain't easy to love my neighbor as myself. But that's what he's called us to do. Matthew 9:10-12. It happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, before I go any further, listen, do you get the picture? Look who is there. Sinners, disciples, and Pharisees. Any similarities? Hello. Kind of like our gatherings today. Sinners, his disciples, and Pharisees. They're all there together. They're all listening to his teaching. And the Pharisees, why does your teacher eat with these nasty folks? No, that's not what it says up there, but that's what we think. Why does your teacher sit with these sinners? Listen to the voice of the Master. Jesus said, those who are well don't need the doctor. Those that are sick need the doctor. And he has challenged the church to be his hands and feet, to minister his love to those that need the doctor. Sometimes I fear I have forgotten why Jesus came. Sometimes I fear that we in the church may have forgotten why Jesus came. Brothers and sisters, he came for the sick. Can I get a witness? He came for the sick. Which I was, you were, and if you haven't been redeemed, you still are. We are spiritually sick. We are apart from God. He came for us when we were sick, when we were in sin, when we were wandering far from the peaceful shore. He came for us, and he came for people in our communities that we don't like. He came for us, for people in our neighborhood that we don't get along with. And we're disgusted by their lifestyle. He came for them too. I wonder sometimes, where do we get the thought process? And I have been there. to categorize sin. I will sit by this sinner, but I ain't sitting by that one. Where do we come up with that? Where do we think we have the authority to say, I'll sit with that one, but I ain't sitting with that one? I wonder sometimes, why do I feel like that? Why do we? Where do we come off thinking we can categorize sin and say, God, I'll love that one, but I ain't loving that one? Did not Jesus die for sin? All sin. My anger or my bitterness or my pride or someone's homosexuality or someone's murder. Jesus died for it all. Luke 10, I got to move on. This is the passage I want to get to. Luke 10, I want you to turn there. I want you to follow along. I don't want you to take it from my word. I want you to see it from the word. And let me just challenge us again this morning, friends. If we're not willing to follow Jesus and love those around us, we're just like the Pharisees that we saw last week. And we're just like this lawyer that we're going to see about today. You know what he's trying to do? He was trying to justify who he loves. And if we're not willing to follow Jesus wherever he takes us, even in the love category, and it starts with me. If we're not willing to follow Jesus in the love category, we're just like the Pharisees last week, and we're just like the lawyer who's trying to justify. I'll pick that one to love, and I ain't loving that one. Listen to the word of the Lord. This is not a parable. This is a real event. Luke chapter 10. And behold, a certain, beginning at 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? The lawyer answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You see, brothers and sisters, he knew the answer. But he couldn't live it out. He knew what the right answer was. To love the living God with everything that he was. And he said, and I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. You see, it's easy to love God. Oh, sometimes we get a little mad at him. Got a couple questions. But it's easy to answer the question like I asked last week. Do we really love the Lord our God with everything that we are? It's easy to do that part. But he's challenged us to love our neighbor just like we love him. And the Bible said, the lawyer, 29, but he, wanting to justify himself to Jesus, said, Who's my neighbor? You see, he wanted to justify who he could love and who he didn't have to. So he said to Jesus, he knew the answer. Love the Lord your God with a passion and a following to such a degree that I love the unlovable around me. He knew the answer. But he wanted to clarify who he really has to love. That's what it says here. Wanting to justify himself, who is my neighbor? I pray that I and you are not trying to justify ourselves in who we love. I pray that I do not. I pray that you do not. I pray that the church does not try to justify who we get to love and who we do not. Jesus went on. He answered him and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. You know the story, so I'm going to go through it fairly quickly. Our time is running out. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw it, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, and he bandaged up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." Jesus asked the one wanting to justify, "Who do I need to love with this?" Which of these three do you think was the neighbor? To him who fell among the thieves. The lawyer said, "He who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." People of God, we're called to do the same. Go and do likewise. We're called to do the same. Go and show mercy even to the sinners around us. Even to those that we quantify and categorize as unlovable. I think the little 6-year-old has it right. And I think it would have been a good answer for the lawyer. We're not loving God the way he calls us to if we won't love our neighbor. Do you understand the hatred that the Jews had for the Samaritan? Do you get that? Most of y'all get that? It was real. They despised them. They couldn't stand the ground they walked on. They walked around their ground. They despised them so bad. Kind of reminds me of somehow sometimes I get, or we get, towards somebody, some people group. I want you to know this morning, friends, that God hates sin. I loathe sin in and out of the church. And I'm not saying to you today, nor last week, nor next, that sex offenders are going to lead our VBS. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying to you last week or today that sexually immoral will be members are leading our children and anything else until they have been redeemed and transformed by the blood of Jesus. I'm not saying that murderers are going to be in charge of anything until they have been redeemed and transformed. I'm not going soft on sin. I despise it in and out of the church. But behind every sinner is a soul for whom Jesus died. Every one of them. Every one has a soul, regardless of their past. You know what? Newsflash, we got a past too. A lot of you know that a while ago I had to do a funeral for a 3-year-old that was murdered by his mama's boyfriend. 3-year-old. When I saw that little fella in the hospital bed at Minneapolis Children's, I cried. When I saw the man's name in the paper, I cried. When I had to prepare for the sermon, I sat here 2-3 days, I cried. The morning of the funeral, I cried so hard I didn't think I was ever going to get it done. Do you think at that point in time I give 2 hoots about the murderer? I didn't. And you didn't either. I heard the hatred. But when God spoke to me, when I got that funeral done and I was walking out of that service with the mama who just lost her 3-year-old to the hands of her boyfriend, he took his life. When I was walking out of that service, God said to me, "Now go talk to Robert. That's the murderer." That's what he said to me. You think the first thing in my mind was love? No, it wasn't love. It was something, but it wasn't love. Do you think the first thing in my mind was joy? Oh, good, I get to go talk to him? No, it wasn't joy. It was something. You see, when Jesus calls the church to love the unlovable, he meant it. And when we do, transformation happens. That man is born again today. Yes, he's in prison. Yes, he has repercussions. Yes, he's got to do the time because he did the crime. But he knows Jesus today. Love wasn't the top thing in my mind, I assure you, when I had to do that baby's funeral. But when God said to me, now go talk to Robert, he meant it. And I knew he meant it. And I wonder sometimes, why do we doubt God? Because that's what we're doing when we're saying, you know what, preacher? I ain't sitting by no sinner like that. I ain't going to go talk to no sinner like that. We are doubting God's ability to transform. Why do we doubt him? Why do I doubt him? He loved me. That's project enough. I don't know if you're aware of it here or not, friends. But you're sitting amongst sinners. We're sitting amongst sinners. Of everything imaginable. You've heard the testimonies here. Murderers transformed. Alcoholics set free. Homosexuals transformed. Adulterers changed. You've heard those testimonies. Why do we doubt God when he says, go love your neighbor as yourself? Why do we doubt he can transform them just like he transformed you and I? I'm going to close with one statement. Our responsibility as a believer, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to love our neighbor like we say we love God. I know it isn't easy. And you're not going to do it on your own. I told you that last week. You're only going to do it when the love of God has taken up residence in you by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you're going to do it. You can't love your neighbor until you do that. Our responsibility as a body of believers is to love the unlovable like we say we love God. That's it. Like we say we love God. Through love, I told you this last week, I believe it. Through love, transformation is likely. God's the one that transforms. That's not your responsibility. It's not mine. It's ours to love. Friends, I want to ask you straight out if you've been born again. Because you won't ever be able to love, and you won't be part of heaven until you've been born again, until you've surrendered completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Repenting of all sin, and crying out to God the Father, saying, I'm a sinner too, and I need a Savior, and I know it's Jesus. Until we've been born again, you see, friends, we'll never be able to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we're not going to heaven until we have been. It's not a denominational thing. It's a Jesus thing. And so if you're wondering about that, and you want to pray about that, you come on up here. I'll pray with you. If you're like I am, and got to get on your knees and repent a little, like I've done this week, but not being able to love the unlovable way too often, you just go ahead and come to the altar and kneel, and you, just you and the Lord, just straighten that out. But let us not be like the lawyer, friends. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you've been born again, let us not be like the lawyer in trying to justify who we love and who we can't. Friends, let's bow our heads. Are you here today and hearing from the Lord? Is he calling you with an invitation to come and surrender completely to him? Because if he is, I just invite you to raise your hand, knowing He's calling you by name and you want to surrender to Him. Raise your hand and put it down. Thank you. Thank you. If He's calling you today, friends, don't ignore that voice any longer. Surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And friends, for the rest of us, let God's Spirit lead us, beginning with me, into a love that's transformational for us and those around us that need loving. Let us allow the Holy Spirit of God to love through us and maybe see our friends and neighbors and our family redeemed and transformed by the power of the living God. If you want to hang around here and visit with the Lord at the altar, you go ahead and do that. I'm going to ask Pastor Les Kreider to close us in prayer. But friends, listen to the voice, because I know the voice of the Master is speaking to us today. Brother Les, will you close us in prayer, please?